Morning, everyone. My name is Dean Claypatch. I'm the pastor here at Glen Arbor Community Church. I wanted to thank you for coming to honor the life of Diane Gargo. Thank you for coming out. Some of you are friends. Some of you are family. Some of you are relatives. And thank you, however far you came today. She grew up in Elmhurst, and so and was born, if I have my dates correctly, in April of 1941. Which was 75 years ago, and passed away in March. And thank you for coming to honor her life today. I thought we could pray together, so why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads, and let's pray to the Lord. God, thank you for life. Thank you for Diane's life. Thank you for the chance to know her. And thank you that you knew her and know her better than any of us. Pray that you bless us today as we seek to understand loss, losing someone we knew, losing someone we cared about. Pray that you help us all grow closer together and closer to you. In your son's name, amen. We have a flyer, a little bulletin of the order of service today. We have several people who will be speaking on her behalf. And first, Scott is going to play one of Diane's, a portion of one of Diane's favorite songs. We're going to have Rose come up and read a verse from the book of Revelation. And after that, we're going to have five people who knew Diane personally talk about her life. And so I'm not going to introduce each person. So after each person is done, just the next one, feel free to come on up. If you haven't used a microphone before, or not that common, don't be afraid of it. Have it close to your mouth and let the person in back adjust your volume. It can be a little different hearing yourself, but Dave will adjust for that. So thank you, Rose. So, Rose, I'm going to have you come back up. And I'm going to do a better... Yeah, that's good. It's a big day. So I'm going to put this a little closer here so we can hear you, all right? So try that, okay?
Okay. I don't have anything memorized. This is just something that...
Other one? Okay. Oh, sorry. We're going to switch. This doesn't seem to be working. My apologies here. So you got to be close to that. Okay, let's try that.
Hello?
There you go. Better. Thank you.
Diane was looking forward to her 75th anniversary of her birthday. And I was shopping and I found a beautiful poem, which actually the lady that wrote it, it was like a prayer. And it had a carousel horse on it, and it was very special. So I'm just going to read that. Lord, each day of my life, like a carousel turns, there are chances to take and lessons to learn. Caught up in problems that each day would bring, chances pass by to catch the brass ring. Whenever I felt my ride slowing down, your gentle hand would push me around, picking me up each time that I fell. You rode beside me on my carousel.
Yeah. All right. How's that? That sound okay? Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. And I want to say that I'm sorry I was late. And I know it was a little bit of a problem because I like to make dramatic entrances. It was either that or jump flaming off the Sears Tower and in the parachute. So that didn't work. But we're here for Diane. And we're here to remember her and her memories. Probably one of the first memories that I have of Diane is a photograph, and it was her and Bruno, and they were dressed just, she was a movie star. She looked like a movie star to me. I was a very young kid, probably 4, 5, 6 years old, and this picture, Dad said, this is, you know, your sister Diane and Bruno, and I said, wow. She's a movie star. Wow, just so beautiful. And that image has always stayed with me because Diane is and was a beautiful person. always liked to make her laugh. That was one of the things that I enjoyed, and she enjoyed laughing. She really did. If you knew her, you knew that she really enjoyed laughing and having a good time. I do remember one story that I have to tell because it is something that sticks in my memory. And it was one day driving at the farm, and I think Rose, Don, and the kids, and Diane and Bruna were all down, and a lot of stories. We got called over to the road, and their car was in a ditch. Do you remember this, Rose? Rose going, I remember, yeah. The car was in a ditch, and we're like, what exactly happened? And Diane says, well, Rose told me to turn here. And I remember Rose going, no, I didn't. I told you to turn. Yes, I told you to turn here, but I meant up where there's a road. She goes, well, you didn't say that. You said turn here, so I turned here. And the car was in this ditch, and Bruno, I guess, came up, and he said, what is going on here? This car is in a ditch, and I don't know. So, but that memory has stuck with me because we all laughed about it later on, didn't we? We did laugh about it. I'm sure we'll laugh about it later on, too. But that is just some of the memories that I have with Diane. She is in a better place right now. And let's keep those memories, let's keep those thoughts, and let's keep those prayers alive because that's what we have with Diane.
Follow Uncle Chris. Okay, can you hear me? Okay. I'm Janie, by the way, the oldest niece, and I have tons of memories of my aunt. She was such a big force in the lives of everyone she touched, everybody she met. She was just a generous, warm woman, and I have so much to thank her for. And pretty much I was, what sums it up for me is the other day I was getting ready for work and it hit me like a ton of bricks because I always sing songs and I'm like happy it was, you know, I work at the Humane Society. I have dog days and cat days. And it was one of these really chilly, cold mornings. And I got to start with the cats first, so I didn't have to go out and walk the dogs. So I'm singing away, you know, it's a cat day, yay, yay. And I'm like, oh, my God, I get that from Aunt Diane. She was always singing us silly little songs about her puggy wugs and, you know, just anything like that. So I get my love of music from Aunt Diane. And the other memory and influence that she had in my life, my sister Donna, and I would always go for sleepovers on Fridays by Diane and Bruno. She'd pick us up, we'd go over. The big thrill was going into the grocery store, getting to pick out a TV dinner. You couldn't ask for anything better than that as a kid, you know? And then we'd watch all the Carousel, Oklahoma. I have just such good memories, and I'd like to leave one thought. She is in heaven, and from the song in the movie Carousel, you'll never walk alone, and she's walking with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Char. I'm Diane's cousin. Diane was the most generous, warm, compassionate person I've ever known. And if Diane was not my cousin, she would have been one of my best friends. Even though she was in Florida for many years, we always kept in contact over the phone. She loved rock and roll music, Elvis, pug dogs. Diane was a fun person and an inspiration to be around. And I know she's in a much better place now and happy, even though we miss her terribly. She's home now.
Good morning. Most of you know me as Earl. Diane knew me as Mickey. Anyway, my earliest memories of her was, and this girl could hoof, just riding in a brown stroller and getting a tour of Elmhurst. Diane was a great fan of musical, mostly Rodgers and Hammerstein type, and anything with Gordon McRae in it. That was her star. But, her music ranged from Peter, Paul, and Mary to Merle Haggard. But probably my fondest recent memories is I drive a tractor trailer, and just the nature of the beast is a lot of times you get held up. It's kind of like being in the Army. Hurry up and wait. And I'd be waiting to get into a dock. I'd give her a call. And we'd just kind of reminisce a little bit. And she'd say, you know, that she'd like to get up here and see Hamburger Heaven again and Russell's Barbecue. Eating kind of falls into this family. I don't know. But anyway. But I cherish those memories. We talked, and Psalms 116, verse 15 says that the Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. And Psalm 34:18 is, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. So as you're brokenhearted today, you're feeling alone, turn to him. He's still in the same place. Just come to him. Remove any hurt, any animosity, forgiveness. Just somebody's done you wrong, cut him some slack. I know Diane's walking with her Lord right now, and she's graduated. She no longer has to deal with the toil and the stresses of this world. And she'd want to see us all again. So, think about it. And, you know, the animosity that we build up, non-forgiveness, it just kind of like drinking poison and hoping the other guy gets sick. So, remember Diane for the good things. And, trust in the Lord for the day that we'll see her again. Thank you.
Dark at the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown.
I did not know Diane personally. I know Paula and Earl. Actually, Paula works for me, but what I value the most is their friendship. They're both very good friends of mine, very good friends. And times like these make you think about what really matters, what you really believe, what you really value. It's interesting, the things we value the most are the things you can't earn. They're things you're given. Life, friends, family. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about that. I don't know if you think about these things, but I think about how life works sometimes. And I think people are really hope-based creatures. We need hope. We rely on it. We rely on hope all the time. All the time. We need it for the future. You know, when you're young, if you hope in what you're going to do, I'm going to build a career, I'm going to earn some money, I'm going to buy a house, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have a family, I'm going to get a boat. I know some of you have hoped for that. For some, it's not a boat. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to see the world. We hope in future things, especially when we're younger. As you get a little older, it hit me the other week. I thought, you know, I realized there's lots of things I plan to do. There's lots of things I own that I plan to fix. And I realized the other day, I says, I'm not going to get to all these things. It's just obvious. This has been broken for 5 years. As you get older, you realize I can't always hope in the future. When you're 20, you can do that. And you get to be 30, 40, 50, 60, and you go, how much longer can I hope in the future thing, the future experience? I'm going to build the life, conquer the world, buy the boat, go on vacation. Diane. Not knowing Diane, but reading about her life, we have a little story that I believe Rose wrote. Thank you for writing this, Rose, about her life. That she valued going to church. Not just going to church, but even when she wasn't able to go anymore. Even when she was really confined and couldn't get out anymore. She would tell us, put Moody on for me. Let me listen to Erwin Lutzer. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a preacher at Moody. Very insightful man about how life works. That's a good sign. Because deep down, we do what we really believe. What we really believe is valuable, we end up doing. We end up living. So not knowing Diane, I go, wow, this is what? What did she really believe? This is what she really believed. She didn't have to do that. Let me watch television. No, turn on Moody Bible Institute. What do you really believe? That's what she wanted to do. It was part of her life. Part of her life. So what can we learn? What do we take away? I don't think originally in God's design, we were designed to die. That's why I think it's so hard for us. Why is it? We all know it's coming. We pretend it's not, right? It's not coming. Not for me, not today, not now. We like to pretend it's never going to happen. Deep down, we know that. Why is it so hard? Because it's my opinion. It was never supposed to be that way. I think that's one of the we grieve the loss so much. So much. So I was reading in the book of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul was talking about this aspect of dying, the Christian view. Lots of different views. The Apostle Paul did have the Christian view after he became a Christian. He wasn't a Christian in the beginning until Jesus Christ appeared to him. But he talked about this. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. He was talking about how hard life is, what a struggle it is, what a burden it can be. And this is what he said. This is in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, for while we are still in this tent, what's he talking about, tent? While we're still here, while I'm still in this body here on the earth, while I am camping here, we groan being burdened. He's saying this life, living here, following God, doing the right thing, it's hard. It's a burden. That's what he's saying. He says, not that we would rather be unclothed, but rather that we would be further clothed. What's he saying? He says, I don't just want the burden to be over. I don't just want to be dead. It's not what I want. Just to have no more struggle, just not to be. That's not what I want. Listen to this. He says, but that we would be further closed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So that who I am, I'm still alive, he's saying, but I want to be fully alive. I want to be swallowed up by life. Swallowed up. I want my whole life to be fully alive, he says, when I leave this tent and I go to the next place, I will be fully alive. I don't carry the burden and the struggle of being here. That's what Paul was saying. That's what I'm hoping in. As you get older, you have to face, what do I believe? What do I think about this? How does it work? We live in a time in our country where it seems like people look in so many places for life. I think we're all looking for life, like Paul says. And we will look everywhere. Our whole culture points to all types of things that will give you life that are empty. And we become numb, going in the wrong way. This is what Jesus Christ said when he was here. This is in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the life. This is what Diane believed. This is what it means to be a Christian. You know, I am a pastor of a church, and I'm a bit of a talker, and I find that I end up talking to people because I like to. And I meet a lot of people, and they tell me, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You know what else they tell me? I tell them where my church is. Oh yeah, I go to that church. I'm going, my church isn't that big. In my head, I have never seen you. I'm a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? I'm not trying to be mean. A lot of people think they are. A lot of people say they are. You know, I've been to a hospital, but I'm not a doctor. I've been to an auto parts store, but I'm not a mechanic. Although I can fix some things. Christianity, what is Christianity? Diane was a Christian. The Apostle Paul was a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? A Christian realizes they have no hope to stand before a holy God. None of us can. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, the story is recorded in Genesis. When they sinned, the first thing they did was hid from God. And then they put a bunch of clothes on because they knew there's no way. They needed something to separate them from God. They knew there's no way they could face Him. They would be naked. We still feel that today. We have fancier clothes today. But we still feel that. We know what that's like. That's a Christian realizes, I am not okay. I need someone to help me. I need someone to pay for my debt. That's what Christianity is. I have nothing to offer. God is a righteous judge. This is what Diane believed. And God will provide, has provided, for all of our shortcomings, all of our inadequacies. How did he do that? You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said, there's two ways to get to heaven. And he looked at me funny. He says, what do you mean? Because no one ever says that. I says, yeah, there's two ways. Either live a perfect life. He says, well, he says, nobody's perfect. I says, yeah, I know. I'm not either. I have lots of issues. I said, the other option is if you are forgiven for everything you did wrong yesterday, all of your shortcomings today, all of your shortcomings tomorrow, if those are washed away, if those are paid for, that's the same thing as being perfect. If everything that falls short in your life, that is what we need. That is what God did. That is what God provided for when He sent His Son, because He was perfect for everyone. That we could have grace. That's what grace is. It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. So how does that work? How does that work? Why does, if God is a judge, if God judges everything, and He will, He says, it is appointed for man once to die and then face the judgment. All of us will stand before God one day. And what Diane's hope, what every Christian's hope, person is a Christian, when they stand before God and they look at your life and He says, how did you do? And He says, I am short. I have fallen short. And Christ will stand up and says, I paid for that. Paid for that. Because I care about Him. I care about them. I care about her, I cared about, and I died. I don't think we understand how much God cares about us. I think we just touch it briefly. You know, God has blessed me. I have a beautiful wife and four beautiful children, and I love them dearly. And my youngest son, his name is Kellen. We were at a water park at this big little resort hotel, had this water park with the water slide, you know. And I got the four kids going down the water slide, and I think I went down with one of them, I forget which one. And I noticed, you know, the water slide has the catch basin at the bottom, you know, that catches the water and the people as you come out. And then what they do is they pump the water from the bottom up to the top of the slide so it keeps going, you know. And I had noticed when I stood up and rode down with one of my kids that it was a small catch basin and the current from the water was actually pretty strong. You actually had to resist it. Otherwise, you'd be kind of pulled toward the end of the pool. And I thought, wow, this is a bad design. If you're a little kid, you could get in trouble here. Just passing thought. And so I'm there watching my kids standing. My little son is here. My other kids are running up. You know how kids run as fast as they could without getting in trouble and going down the slide. One, two, three. Going down the slide, you watch them. Oh, fun. And I look down and I go, where's my youngest? Where did he go? I look around, I don't see. There's people everywhere, people all around. Where did he go? Did he walk away? Did someone take him? I start looking, I'm a little nearsighted, I start squinting, you know, and I don't see him. And I look, and I see a little shape in the pool, under the water, in the current. And he can't swim. He's a little boy. He can't swim, and he's in there. No one saw a thing. I didn't see it. No one around, no one saw a thing. And he's in there. What do you think I did? That's my son. And I think, I don't know for sure, you never know, but I think I would if I had to give my life for my children or my wife. I think I would if it came to that. But I was in the water, I was in a heartbeat. I didn't worry about, let me take my shoes off. I was in the water as fast as I could get in there to help him because I care about him. And he's fine. He's fine now. He's fine. He could not get out on his own. He had no idea what was happening. The water was over his head. Still bothers me today, and he's fine. It's over his head. No idea. Clueless. If that's me and my son, and I have many issues, I have many flaws, how does God think about us when he sees us struggling, when he sees us drowning, when he sees us disoriented, not even knowing which way is up? If I jump in, if we would jump in for our children, if you would go save your children, if you do that, how does God do it? He did the same thing in a much bigger way. In the perfect way, he sent his son into the pool of sin to lift us out, to lift each person out, to lift us out, take us out. There's no way they'll get out on their own. We're drowning. They're drowning. They don't even know what's going on. We're drowning in sin, and lifts each person out. Who will let them? Some people can hold their breath for a long time. I got this. Don't worry. I'm okay right now. I'm not dead yet. So I don't know where you are with your spiritual walk, your spiritual journey. If you want to learn from Diane, from what I read, from what I saw, from this story of her life, this is what she believed. Very encouraging. Late in her life, this is what she turned to. You turn to what you really believe. This is what she really believed. that Jesus Christ was the one who lifted her up. He offers that to each person. It's a personal choice. It's a choice of faith to trust that He is perfect enough to lift us out of the pool of sin because He paid. He can stand in that water. There's no one else who can stand in there for us. No one else. Why don't we pray together? Lord, thank You. Thank You for Diane's life. Thank You for the chance to know her. Thank You for the chance even to speak of her life. God, thank You that she trusted You. And we see that by how she lived. I pray that we would trust You and we would learn to follow You. That we learn how much You care about us. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to sing actually two hymns together. And we actually have the words. If you're not familiar with the words, these are classics, but you may not have sung them in a long time. So what we want you to be able to join with us. So these are in your bulletin. So why don't you pull those out, and we will sing both of these together.
Now we all rise. And the first song we're going to sing is In the Garden, and the next one is The Old Rugged Cross.
Last I lay down, I will. Us out when we come to Him. Pray that we would all trust Him with our lives. You are the only one who can save us. Thank you for Diane's life. Help us to grieve losing someone we care about. Help us to move forward like she did in faith. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you all for coming today. The family of Diane has provided a lunch for you. If you'd like to stay, we'd love to spend some time with you. The lunch is in the middle of the there's coffee and drinks and probably more food than you would want, but it is all very good. So please feel free to stay and have lunch together. Thank you. Thank you.
is gone, I'll be lonely, oh so lonely, living only to remember you. I'll remember you, your voice is soft as the warm summer breeze, your sweet laughter mornings after, ever after, I'll remember you. To your arms someday I'll return to stay.
So far from home, came to dwell among the lonely such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will die? The answer I may never know. that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you never. If you'll be true, I'll give to you life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? That to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?